Welcome, y'all, to the Direct Examination Podcast. I'm Amber Fulmer.
I'm Dane Phillips.
And I'm Joseph Bias. This is our last official episode of the 2020 year. We'll talk about 2020. We'll recap some of our favorite moments. And then we'll give out the prestigious Golden Gavels for the second year in a row. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, go on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, wherever you get this episode. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us what you like about the episode. Shoot us an email at directexaminationpodcast@gmail.com. And support the show, because as you all know, this is a labor of love. We do this in our free time. But this is a opportunity for us to kind of look back on 2020 and to catch up with each other. So Dane, Amber, how are y'all?
Good. Well, tired. Very tired.
I'll have to echo the tired. You know, I have a baby that's like 20 days old. And so
you have a new baby.
Sleep is a commodity.
Just sleep in your room.
Well, she's in a bassinet kind of thing. Yeah. But yes.
Dane, and, this is your first episode back.
Yes, welcome back.
Welcome back. To everything went well, I'm assuming. I mean, we know, but
mommy and baby are healthy. Everybody's doing great. Yeah, we've had passed the 2-week checkup last week. Everything is great. You know, we are, as I say, always living the dream. Everything is great, and it's good to be back. I will say that just busy, juggling, spinning plates, work is through the roof, and all of the topics that we address on this podcast is definitely is something that I'm dealing with on a daily basis now, work-life balance, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And in the time of a pandemic, to have a newborn and have a job that where we're just in some areas starting to commingle with more people again.
Right. I mean, they're still calling us to court. I went to court yesterday and you know, cause I had, we had a plea offer we couldn't refuse in a very big case, and it was, you can get it done tomorrow kind of thing. And we got it done. But again, that's not the safest thing. Right. But unfortunately that's the world we're living in. And for the foreseeable future, I mean, I guess we can kind of chime in on it. The Chief Justice Beatty issued the order suspending jury trials. And, you know, I would have been in a trial this week. Now, granted, I'd already pushed to get it continued because of me having the brand new baby. And thankfully that was the case. But I originally was scheduled to be in trial this week. And so, you know, just overall, it's been an incredible effect across the state to now have jury trials suspended. An order was issued today where there will not be any new grand jury members selected in 2021. And we're not sure when that's going to be reinstated. So that means there'll be no new indictments issued, which means there'll be a whole lot of people that can't go to trial and their case will be delayed. You know, justice delayed is justice denied. There's a lot of issues and implications that come with all of this.
Hey, Dane, and then I'll ask you, Amber, when having a criminal practice, are these delays a positive thing? Because I imagine if you have the individual who's in jail and they want to, you know, get out or they want to have their day in court, that's a negative. But also, I guess the other scenario is having somebody who is waiting on a trial and maybe they're not too eager to be doing it. And Amber, I'll ask you the same thing when it comes to a family law afterwards.
I'm going to give you the lawyer answer. It depends. Sure. Depends on their case. Exactly what you identified. I think for a lot of people, they don't see it now, but it's going to help them. Having a backlog and having cases get out to deep water, as I like to say, I mean, the likelihood that it's going to be favorable to them, I think is the likelihood is high. But again, if you're a person who's already been in prison, or excuse me, in the county jail for 2-3 years waiting for your date of trial, and the backlog is getting pushed and pushed back, I mean, you could have just, this whole situation might have pushed your trial back another year. You're sitting there with pretrial incarceration rates, and the magistrate judges, for the most part, have done a good job of helping with bonds of people not being stuck in the county jail and helping with those rates. But I mean, again, if you're already somebody that's been sitting for several years, and that's not uncommon, and it's shocking to a lot of people. There are plenty of people in county detention centers around the state who've been sitting there 2 and 3 years and more. And so you have these people with the backlog and the trials they already have listed. It could easily have pushed that trial that was supposed to happen this year another year back.
Right. Amber, what about you in the family court arena?
I will say it has its benefits, but it has its drawbacks. You know, for cases that are very close to negotiation, close to being able to settle, people that don't have a lot of issues between them, it just took getting the lawyers involved to maybe understand the process and figure things out. It's helping those cases because we're telling them, look, we can't get you in. It'll be a while. They're kind of organically getting better and resolving. And we're submitting those to, you know, pre-hearing mediations and pre-filing mediations and getting some of those wrapped up. And with COVID, we can submit the packets to the court. So they never have to go to court. We can submit packets for approvals of agreements. We can submit packets for divorces. And I've even done them on contested divorces. If you attach the other side's not contesting it, but we want a fault ground. If we attach all the evidence so the judge can make the finding, they'll make the finding. Where it's a problem is these big multi-day trials in family court, which, as you'll know, we are required to submit all family court cases to mediation. That's cut down on a lot of these multi-day hearings. This mediation is very effective in the family court. So when we do get to trial, they're so far apart that it settles on the courthouse steps or they're done. But I bring that up because in custody cases, we have children that are going to be lagged out another 2 years for cases that might already be a year or 2 years old. So these kids are kind of growing up in litigation. Additionally, I just happened to speak with a judge in Richland County this week after a hearing conference on mine over the phone. And he said that in Richland County, prior to COVID, not including the DSS docket, they had 31 multi-day family court trials scheduled. Wow. That was scheduled as of the end of February 2020. So not only do all those multi-day private cases have to be rescheduled that were already on the calendar, there's already backlog for case notices that might have been sitting in a few weeks before then that didn't get scheduled, plus everything that's been filed from beginning of March 2020 to now, plus the DSS docket. Right. He said they are easily telling people it's likely 2022 before you're getting in. They noticed one of mine for 3 days in Lexington the last 3 days of March. But what they've been doing is noticing the hearings, and then if it comes up and we're still in like this limbo, a lot of judges don't like to do multi-day trials in the private cases. They'll do them in DSS because you have to have so many days of court. Right. A month, but the private cases is just so cumbersome to get all the exhibits. They'll continue them as close as, and these judges really want to see the litigants and really want to be doing these trials.
Sure, that's why they got into it.
Yeah, that's why they got into it. So it's very difficult for them. It's frustrating for them as much as it's frustrating for the attorneys.
Before we get into, you know, talking about us and the podcast and even getting to some silly things, you know, if you're listening to this, I have the benefit of doing this show with not only two good friends of mine, but two really good lawyers. They don't talk about how great they are. You can Google them, though. But seriously, if you need some help with the criminal matter, go see Dane Phillips at Price Benowitz in Columbia. Go see Amber Freen, your family court needs, at Jewett Dooley Law Firm. And, you know, if you've listened to the show, you know how good they are at their jobs and how sincere they are. They do this on their free time. And so since they won't say this on about themselves, I'm going to say it about them. Go talk to these two advocates and refer any of your cases to them because they're really, really good at their job. Now, that being
so
said.
Sweet.
Oh, shut up. Yeah. All right.
Blush.
Well, both Amber and I are not the only ones who had a big year.
And that's true.
And so you had a tremendous year as well.
I did not raise a baby or have a baby, but I did get
you
married
did the next
this
step.
Year. I did the next step. slow down, guys. I was fortunate enough to get hitched. Couple months ago. I'm very much in love and everything's going well. So
in the honeymoon phase.
Happily married.
Happily married. I will say we're starting to have the thermostat conversations now. And so the funny part is, so I keep my house really cold. And then she has moved in. So she wants it warmer during the day, but she turns on the AC at night, even lower than I'd have it. So we either in this house, it's either burning up or freezing, like, you know, waking up 56 degrees in the middle of the night. So, you know, we'll either survive.
I sleep better in the cold, though. Like, you got to get all warm and snuggly under the blankie. Yeah, I sleep better in the cold.
Y'all thoughts on weighted blankets, just as a side.
I love my weighted blanket. Love it.
Never had one, but now that you say that, I need to pull out the electric blanket front.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
The old school.
Old school.
Toast blanket. Those tootsies.
That's right. Well, guys, we are, again, this is our end of the year wrap up episode. What we said last year is true this year. This is basically our office Christmas party that we're recording and allowing y'all in. Just wanted to go through the top five episodes of all time for this podcast. And this is going to be episode 77. The top five episodes. I know, guys, time flies. We started this in August of 2017 or 18?
2018? August of 2018.
So this is episode 77, and we're at least going to get to 100. Now, after that, we'll talk
about it. Will we be in syndication?
Go back and listen to our old episodes. The top five all time are Bob Coble, who was great. He came on last year. The COVID webinar that we had up that the bar did, that we broadcasted them, that was very popular. A lot of folks like that. Todd Ellis.
That we had nothing to do with.
Maybe that's the biggest indictment for the podcast. Todd Ellis came on last year to preview the USC season back when they were winning games.
Harsh.
Robert Hood came on this year and told us about his life as a judge. And then the number one episode is still Dakota James, guys.
It has to be, right?
It has to be Dakota James. Right. This podcast is tied with Dakota James, and you know, shout out to him. We wish Dakota well. This year, our top 10 episodes. So just in 2020, very quickly, our Lean Law episode with Susan Williams. That's a great episode.
If you're
going to be a solo practitioner, go back and listen to that. She was fantastic. And it gave out a lot of good information. Ali Menegakis, Yes, I did that five times on the podcast too. she came on, she was our number 9 episode this year. And this is in terms of listeners. She came on to talk about SC4CJR, which is her organization working with criminal justice reform. The candidate herself, Adair Burrows, was number 8. She was fantastic. Go back and listen to that episode.
Slow clap.
Yeah, clap for her. She obviously
did not
win her race, but man alive, was she impressive both in running and on that episode. We had some law students at number 7 come in for law school during the time of Corona episode. That was really good. They did really well, even on the second time recording it, because we lost the first one because Joseph didn't hit record.
Which was better content. I hate to say that we lost the best content. So maybe we apologize because you probably would have ranked a spot or two higher, but here we are.
But now we have the running joke of Joseph not hitting record, so everyone wins. The bar conference preview with Judge Carolyn Matthews, that was our number 6 episode. We maybe will do something for the virtual conference in 2021, so look out for that. Justice Costa Paclonis, like, oh my goodness, we got a Supreme Court Chief Justice or another one.
Yeah.
He was number 5. He was great. And that one was important, Dave, because that was the last thing that I think we did before Corona. Like, I remember talking about it after that episode. It's like, oh, we may not be able to see people for a while.
We elbow bumped Chief Justice Plaquemines.
That's right. That's right.
It was just starting, and he was like, hey, let's just elbow bump.
Let's elbow bump, yeah. So that'll always stick out for me. We had a criminal justice roundtable with April Sampson and Mark McLawhorn. That was great. That was our number four most popular episode. Number three was Brad Willis. He's our only, to that point, he was our only non-lawyer guest. That's a fantastic show. And if you go back and listen to his story about this true crime investigation that he's doing in Greenville and his podcast, the Murder Etc. podcast, it was fantastic. It was really riveting stuff. Go back and listen to that. And then, of course, the number two episode was the webinar. Number one was Judge Hood, as we talked about. So we have covered a lot this year. Dane, let's start with you. What was your favorite episode from this year?
So although I ran point in the Hood episode, and it's the number one for the year, you know, I had been listening to the Murder Etc. podcast, and I had told both of you that I was like, man, this would just be a great episode. Mm-hmm. It's South Carolina specific. It's about a Greenville case, an actual innocence mm-hmm. case. He does just an incredible job with his podcast, and he delivered. He's got the radio voice. God, he killed it.
Oh, so, God. Yes.
Just to reiterate, if you haven't listened, go back and listen to that episode. It was just a great episode. And then listen to his podcast. I mean, mm-hmm. not many podcasts are going to tell you to go listen to somebody else's podcast, but you need to go check out Murder, Etc. If true crime genre is your thing, then so I'd have to say that for this year, Brad Willis is going to be my pick.
All right. Amber, what about you?
I'm going to have to agree with Dane. It was just so captivating to hear him talk about it and all the work that he's put in. And it's like you said, he's got that voice. So I actually had only listened to an episode or two, and I'd followed it in the media. We talked about that during the show. But afterwards, I went and started listening to it, and it kept on going. I never pressed pause. I just kept going to the next thing that I was doing and had it in the background. And before I knew it, hours had passed, and I was like, oh, man. That was really good. My child was not here, by the way. Wasn't neglecting my child.
I will agree with y'all. I really loved that show, and I thought it was really captivating. And again, we can't say it enough. We obviously think, well, I think we'd be honest and say there are some episodes that are better than others. That one's mm-hmm. one of our better ones you should listen to. My favorites are, y'all know me, I tend to either like the newsworthy ones or the silly ones. So my favorite episode was the fictional lawyer tournament that we did.
I did like that.
That was a lot of fun. And, you know, just frankly, at the time of the year where it was kind of in the middle of COVID and we were all down, it was nice to have everyone around. I will say, as far as like good for the show and good for the podcast, Justice Plaquemines and Dean Hubbard were really good gets for us. And I think both of those turned out really well.
I think the COVID Tiger King episode was good, even though it's not on here for purposes. But it was just like a nice comic relief because I would love to. You go back and you hear it, and I'm like, man, those voices sound like desperation. Now they're more resigned to their fates. Like, we're 10 more months in this thing.
Yeah, we have accepted the hellscape that is 2020.
Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of, we're along for the ride. We're taking a knee and we're letting the clock run out.
That's right. Wow. So, hey, that's a nihilist view. Eat at Arby's. look, we're very proud of our work. We're proud of those episodes, and we're proud of what we've been able to put out there. We're always up for suggestions. If you have any, send it to us on social media, shoot us an email. You know, if you see us in court or in the streets, tell us, because we love doing the show and we love providing for you. But what we did last year for the first time, what we're going to do this year is give out our golden gavels. Now, we solicited nominees on social media. We included those here. We have very strict rules on the golden gavels, and they are the following. There are no rules, and we're going to give out the awards to who we want because we don't have a sponsor and they don't actually get awards. This is just a recognition.
We do what we want.
Yeah, we do what we want because it's our show and we can do that. So we're going to use the same categories that we have last year. We'll talk a little bit about them, and we'll all three take a vote. And whoever, if there's a three-way tie, then we just have to you know, make it work.
Rock, paper, scissors.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so let's start with the first Golden Gavel category of the year, which is Law Development of the Year. No surprise. The nominees for this one are, as we talked about, the COVID court delays, which happened once in, I think, March or April, and then again recently. The Title IX updates that came down from the Trump administration to update all the Title IX information. And then Zoom taking over the law, which is related to COVID, but I feel it's its own separate thing. Because
Zoom, WebEx, that's the virtual courtrooms.
Right.
Virtual
Microsoft courtrooms. Teams taking over not only, you know, the courts, but also classrooms. Okay. Amber, what say you? Law Development of the Year.
COVID court delays. I mean, if you just look at the type of hearings and things we were exercising in January, beginning of February to now, to where we were, you know, the middle of April when everything's, I mean, it's just unreal how we've had to adapt and move forward this year and how we learned very many ways where we can be more efficient and that we were totally blindsided and not prepared. And it's, you know, the frustrations from the clients all the way up to the bench. You know, there's no good way to solve it that can be done and implemented very, very quickly. So, you know, we just all have to give each other a little grace this year. But I think that's probably the biggest thing, just because we will probably never see something like this again in our lifetime that would disrupt, we hope, fingers crossed, the court schedule like this again. I mean, the last time something like this happened, it was in 1918. So, I mean, it's just insane to think of all the things that have happened since then. Wars, all that stuff. I mean,
right.
Life still went on.
Dane, what about you? Law Development of the Year.
Yeah, I just have to echo Amber, COVID court delays. So in March, whenever it was implemented, I was prepping a trial, and the week it was implemented, it canceled that trial. And so I already had that trial that was canceled literally when the first round, and then I had another trial that was scheduled a month after that. So that was canceled. And now technically I was going to have a trial, like I said, even scheduled for this week that would have been there, you know, with the newborn issue notwithstanding, that I was able to get
issue
because of that issue. However you would, miracle. Yes. Miracle. And choice of words. And so, look, I have right now a double murder case scheduled for February 1st. I have a misconduct in office big case scheduled for March 1st. These are two really big trials. And right now, jury trials are suspended indefinitely until Chief Justice Beatty decides otherwise. That's a, you know, that just affects.
Indefinitely is a long time.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so, I mean, COVID has to win. But I do want to throw in about Zoom and the law. I will say that now, because we're doing these virtual hearings.
I'm virtual podcast. I mean,
we used to meet in person, but we do them now virtually. I will say, like, if I had a court hearing in Sumter, it feels a hell of a lot better to go to my office and do a quick 10-minute hearing from my office instead of having to drive an hour to Sumter, ride the Pine, wait my turn, do my 10-15-minute hearing, get back in the car, and drive an hour back to Columbia. So I do believe, like Amber said, just to piggyback again, the efficiency.
It makes you more productive.
I think we are more efficient because we have virtual hearings. Because even while you're waiting for the virtual hearing, you can put it on mute and do some emails.
And do some other work.
Yeah,
exactly.
And do everything you need to do.
Y'all are right. It's obviously COVID, but I agree with Dane. You know, I think that we're going to, the law legal profession is going to change a lot of the way it does things as a result of COVID. And, you know, Dane's absolutely right. I used to obviously be a insurance defense lawyer. You know, if I'm telling a client that, hey, I have to travel across the state to meet with a witness, and, you know, why wouldn't they say now, why can't you do it over Zoom? Or why can't you do it? Why can't you do your hearing there and save on the travel costs? And like Dane said, it's helpful for solo practitioners. It's helpful for smaller offices.
People with clients that are out of state in other areas.
I don't see how we go back. So it's definitely COVID, because COVID's the story of the year. But if you're asking me the thing that I think is going to be the change in the sleeper pick, that's right, in 2021, 2022 and go for it, I really think it's, you know, the Zoom. And now that everybody has the setup and everybody knows how to do it, why go back? So anyway, Law Development of the Year. Congratulations to COVID. You take something else in 2020. Yeah,
you've now ruined one other thing.
Yeah,
that's right. All right. Lawyer Politician of the Year. So we actually did get some nominees on this.
This to me is the hardest one.
Okay. So let's suss it out. So you have Rhodes Bailey, who, if you're not from Columbia, he ran for House, and it was House, right?
Was trying to be a repeat champion, right?
Yes. And I think Rhodes
won last year. I voted for him. I think he won. I voted for him last year.
I think he won last year, but he did not win the election, but he won the gold medal.
Yeah, so that's the more important thing, okay, besides all that.
So we have Henry McMaster, who is a lawyer and who's been handling however you want to criticize it.
You're too generous.
Handling the COVID crisis in the state. Tamika Isaac Devine, so she not only was on the show to talk about work-life balance, but she's also been doing a lot with COVID in the Columbia community and, you know, helping the city of Columbia kind of progress through all the, under the leadership of Steve Benjamin, who ironically was not nominated. Manny Powers Norrell, doing great work in the, she just got reelected to the House, doing great work with victims' rights and victim advocacy. And, you know, also selfishly, we want her on the podcast. So she's on the list. And then the aforementioned Adair Burrows, who I really think is going to be a superstar in the state, even though she came up short for this race. So we have Rhodes, Henry McMaster, Tamika Isaac Devine, Mandy Powers Norrell, and Adair Burrows. Amber, let's start with you. Who's your lawyer politician of the year?
You know, again, I found this to be hard, but because I adore her, I love Mandy Powers Norrell. I love following her on Twitter. I love reading about all the things she's doing. But Tamika and Adair, they're my girls too. I mean, I'm so proud of the women lawyers the pod has put forth this year. Killing it.
So, I'm sorry, did you pick one? Is it
Mandy? I picked Mandy. But it was right. It was tough. That's what I'm telling you. It was tough.
Fair enough. Dane, what about you?
So, look, I'm all about woman power. I'm a girl dad.
Two girls. Yes, you are.
And so, yes, I'm 100% behind this woman power movement. I will say, growing up, so Adair ran in my district that I grew up in. And I will say that I have to pick Adair. I wanted her to win so bad. I knew that it might have been a mountain that's too high to climb at the current
political climate. I voted for.
I did too, with the current political climate and the straight party. You know, I could get on a soapbox, straight party ticket voting in South Carolina. But I'll tell you that if anybody deserved to win, it was her. And I think to effectuate the change needed in that district and the things that she wanted to do, I mean, you go to her debate and she ends with, you will not find somebody that will, you know, she essentially says, we will not be outworked. I will work tirelessly on your behalf, you know, and it was the most sincere, genuine pitch to say, if you want somebody who's going to genuinely wake up in the morning thinking about how to solve your problems and not focus on themselves and be selfless, then I will be the person who will work not only as soon as I get up, but all the way until I go to sleep at night, focusing on other people. I feel bad that the district didn't work out for her, because, like you said, I think she's a future superstar. We will see her again. And so my pick is Adair.
Okay. I'm going to, we don't always have to go in the order where I'm last, but I will go with Adair as well, for all the reasons Dane said. I will say for Tamika Isaac Devine, who, again, was a great guest on our show, she is hosting a listening session and a community conversation regarding a book, The Color of Law, How Forgotten History of Our Government Segregated America. By the time you're listening to this, the first of those conversations will have already come out, but they're virtual listening sessions or virtual sessions that can be accessed through Historic Columbia's website. And they're essentially about what racism in government has done to the populace. I think that was brought to our attention by a listener. I think that's a great project that she's working on. So with all deference to her, and we definitely need to have her back on the show at some point as well, I will give it to Adair, because I think, you know, every time that we saw Adair and every time she was, you know, doing all the things that you'd want.
She's a rock star.
She's a rock star. There you go. All right. So congratulations to Adair on Lawyer Politician of the Year, with apologies to Mandy.
And let me throw in the South Carolina Bar. So myself and Tekla Henderson were co-chairs on a COVID CLE seminar. And the cornerstone of that CLE is not, you know, everything about that is trying cases, criminal practice and COVID, but the key mark, the key, you know, whatever you want to call it, the cornerstone of that, we're having a social justice panel to talk about issues locally and nationally. So if you're listening to this, it's January 8th. The South Carolina Bar is you know, presenting this CLE. And so not only if you're going to be trying a case during COVID, we're going to have for each panel lawyers who have tried cases, you know, courtroom officials, clerks of court administration, and we're going to have several judges involved. So everybody from top to bottom. So COVID, social justice issues. Get it. See you there.
There you go. All right. So congratulations to Adair Burrows, and we'll give you more information about the January 8th CLE at the end of the show. In case you missed it, maybe we'll put in the show notes. Social media account of the year. So this is a fun one.
Yep.
There are a lot of lawyers with a lot of good social media accounts. Here are the nominees that we have. And this has nothing to do with their legal acumen or anything. Mm-hmm. This is just their Twitter. And, you know, I can't talk about anything else, no, Facebook, Instagram. We're talking strictly their Twitter accounts.
And some that have strictly said we can't mention their Twitter accounts.
Exactly. So thank you, Amber. That took we know that some of you have private accounts. You know, follow us. We'll follow you back. Well, we don't follow everybody back, but, you know, if you're good, we'll follow you back. But these are people with public Twitter accounts who tweet. By the way, you can't be nominated for this award. If you don't tweet, if you're an interesting person, you don't tweet, well, sorry, you lose. Okay, so just missing the cut. At Nasty Woman at Law, very funny tweeter, very good. We have to get her on the show eventually. Bryant Caldwell, at Bryant S. Caldwell, he's a funny tweeter. He's good. Us, you can follow me, at Joseph P. Bias, but I promise you, I don't tweet anything except for the Bulls the Broncos. Yeah, the Bulls, the Broncos, and other random stuff. You can follow Dane at the Spire. That's right. You can follow Dane at SC Crim Lawyer. Dane just basically will retweet the podcast and links
and some Innocence Project cases.
There you go. Yeah. And Amber doesn't tweet, but she has the best Twitter handle at Red Judy.
Well, I do tweet, but I tweet as it grabs my fancy. Like the other day, when there was an article online that they were going to ban emotional support animals from airlines, and I personally hope that doesn't happen before I can get a duck on the plane. that's what crossed my brain, and I was like, I got to tell the world that I want a pet duck. Like,
so again, if you're not following Amber, you're missing out on that content. All right, so our official nominees are, and again, none of these people know that they're nominated for this because we didn't tell them, but they'll see when it's posted. All right, so Christian Stigmeier, who's a lawyer in Columbia, at C-S-T-E-G-M-A-I-E-R, he posts about, like, some good law stuff, also throws in some humor, some Columbia stuff, great follow. Jean Marie Tankersley, she's at Jean Marie SC. She was a guest on our show. She did a lot of good work with the election and a lot of good tweets around, you know, getting out the vote in Columbia or in
President of the South Carolina Young Lawyers Division.
That's correct. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. Marie Louise Ramsdale is kind of a COVID updater who is has she's liberal, but also is very good at keeping up to date on COVID numbers and what South Carolina is doing about them. She's a great follow. We talked about Ali Menegakis before. Her handle is at SC4CJR. They do good work with criminal justice. Daniel Coble, who I believe won this last year, Judge Boogie changed his username to Daniel M. Coble. He's great on evidence, his own stuff, but also shines a light on different Columbia and South Carolina issues. Derek Black, who's been on our show, Professor Black. If you need education law information, he's great at Derek W. Black. And then Colin Miller, who we had on the show, at Evidence Prof, who talks about not only his classes, but also the work he's doing on the Undisclosed podcast. So 7 nominees. Guys, I'll go first on this one.
I'll go second.
I love all of these folks. But Colin Miller was the one who worked on the Breonna Taylor.
Exactly.
He came on the show. I think his stuff, and again, with apologies to Professor Black, who was also really good, and I'm in education, I'm going to give it to Colin Miller for his work, and his social media is really informative. Amber, right. What about you?
I'm going to have to go with Colin Miller, especially because his work is so – it's in the headlines right now with the social justice issues that we've had arisen over the year, in addition to having COVID. And you see huge movements come out of this, you know, like reforming those no-knock warrants. I mean, that's huge for criminal justice. I mean, Dane can probably harp more on that, but that's a big change that some of these jurisdictions are adopting. It's like the ripple effect.
Right. No, it's a clean sweep. I think he easily won this. So Colin Miller, so Evidence Prof, he is, his work with the Undisclosed podcast, Serial, and all the other cases they've done on that podcast, specifically, go listen to the episode we did with him, so you can get more in depth with it. But so his work on the Undisclosed, his work with Ron Taylor, no knock once. I mean, an easy clean sweep for him.
Awesome.
Oh, Andy tweets out, he also addresses what his handle is, Evidence Prof. He also puts out substantive evidence issues. Absolutely. That can help clarify the law. So if you're a young lawyer and want to learn more about evidence and have things clarified, he's absolutely another great resource to follow.
All of them are great. Professor Miller gets our golden gavel. Congratulations to him. I know that's the most important thing that's happened to him this year as well. All right.
It's on the resume.
Yeah, that's right. Bar Employee of the Year. So we have, this award is for people who actually work for the bar. They don't give it enough credit for what they do. Mm-hmm. So we try to shine a light on them. We have Brooke Mixon, who sends out the e-blast, and it's just a delightful human being. I like her a lot. Callie Turner, also a delightful human being. She does government relations stuff. Mary Catherine Kraft, who's a fan of the show. She's probably listening. She's in charge of communications at the bar. And then Nicole Davis, who has been a guest on the show, also a delightful human being. And as a side note, has her own Etsy mask shop, and she provided the custom mask for our wedding. So those are our nominees, Brooke, Callie, Mary, Catherine, and Nicole. Dane, who you got?
Well, I think, we got to go with Nicole. She's a big supporter of the podcast. Look, the South Carolina Bar supports our podcast, so we appreciate right. that. Mm-hmm. We support the South Carolina Bar. But Nicole Davis is...
I just paid my dues. We absolutely support the South Carolina Bar.
Absolutely. And so we'll have to go with Nicole Davis for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amber, what about you?
I'm going to have to say Brooke Mixon. As much as I love Nicole and I think she's great, I think she got this award last year, didn't she? So I'm going to have to go with Brooke because those little bar blasts are like the only thing that grab my attention and draw me into what I really need to be paying attention to. So without her, I would never remember the dues and the CLE.
The bar blasts are critical.
I love the bar blasts. I'm obsessed.
I'm going to agree with Amber on this and a controversial pick. Nicole and we loved all of them. And Callie hasn't been on the pod and she needs to at some point. But yeah, Brooke putting in that work, especially during COVID, of sending out those e-blasts. And I think Brooke got engaged this year as well. So congratulations to her. And again, this will be the most important thing to have us there. So congratulations to Brooke Mixon. She will get our Bar Employee of the Year Golden Gown. All right. Now we're getting into the important ones, guys. All right, our next award is for War Story of the Year. So we're going to have a special episode over the break of all of our favorite war stories. These are the ones from 2020, and we're giving out the War Story of the Year. So we have the aforementioned Adair Burroughs, when she talked about her first deposition. We have Judge Matthews. She talked about interviewing for his job as a staff attorney. Costa Pocones talked about presiding over a death penalty case. Brad Willis, who has already received an award, talked about meeting his sources in shady circumstances. Alex Mindy, who's on our law school pod, talked about a professor who cried at his last virtual class. Austin Nichols raised his hand on a Zoom screen instead of actually hitting the raise hand button. Susan Williams talked about someone who passed out after a sentence and what the judge did. Sue Berkowitz talked about her first bankruptcy case. Chris Adams talked about death penalty stories. And then Dean Hubbard talked about bringing foreign clients to Alabama. So if you want to hear those war stories, go back and listen to them. But for us, I will go ahead and say mine first. I really like the Chris Adams story where he talked about the death penalty situations, with apologies to Dean Hubbard. His was funny as well. Amber, what about you?
I'm going to go with Adair Burroughs, because as someone who has clients often ask if they're 12, I feel that thing.
Dave, what about you?
I'm going back to Brad Willis. When he told that story, I remember feeling on the edge of my seat to hear how that story was going to end, because it's kind of a slow build cliffhanger. You don't know exactly how it was going to end. And so if you haven't listened to it, it's a must listen to.
So again, if you haven't heard these war stories, they're at the end of our podcast. Go back and listen to those episodes. And we're going to compile a few of our favorite over our past 70 some odd episodes. And they'll come out with a special episode in the while we take a little break. All right, guys, last award, podcast guest of the year. So here are our guests this year: Adair Burroughs, Carolyn Matthews, Robert Hood, Costa Pocones, Brad Willis, Alex Mindy and Austin Nichols, Susan Williams, Mike the Wine Guy, Brindy and Carson, Ali Minigakis, April Sampson and Mark McLaughlin, Chris Paschal, Colin Miller, A.C. Parnum, and Jasmine Crothers were all one together, Sue Berkowitz, Jean-Marie Tankersley, Chris Adams, William Hubbard, and Kirby Mitchell. This is not our favorite episode. This is the guest of the year. All right?
Yes. So, okay.
So it's not. So, for example, my favorite episode was the lawyer tournament. Obviously, didn't have a guest, but I can like the way an episode turned out and maybe not like the guest. Okay. So this is the guest of the year.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to start?
I'll go. My pie guest of the year is Brad Willis. I mean, he was a great guest. Like I said, he just told a story so well. It's a great, great time.
Dane.
You know, I hate for it to be the same thing, right? But the Brad Willis episode was so good. If I had to pick the podcast guest of the year, I think I'm going to have to go Brad Willis as well.
And I'm going to go with Justice Pocones. Again, he was really good in the time.
Almost did it.
Yeah, he was really good, but Brad Willis is an excellent choice. So those are Golden Gavels. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Looking forward to 2021. We will continue to do the show. We will come back in January. We'll do some episodes.
We'll bring you the best content on the internet.
That's right.
in the podcast world.
Any goals, any guests that you want to have on for 2021? Well, who's on our wish list?
I want Mandy. And okay. I think it might be good to get Vincent Shaheen on here.
There you go.
What do you think?
I think that's a good choice. Dan, what about you?
So, you know, I'm wanting to get some more South Carolina legal legends. I definitely need to get at some point my mentor, John Delgado. Would love former U.S. Attorney Bill Nettles, who we just spoke to. We've been in talks with Andy Savage, former Chief Justice Toll. I would love for us to keep getting some of these legal legends and getting them interviewed, because I just, you know, just to preserve all of that, I think it would be great.
Absolutely. And mine, you know, we've talked about this almost since we started the show. I really want to, when COVID is over, knock on wood, and we're able to all be around each other, I want 2021 to be the year of our live pod, where we can all get together, have some drinks, and maybe have one of those legal legends to come in, and hopefully maybe we can have Robert and Brett bring their briskets and compete over that as well. And
I want kids say the darndest things at the end of 2021. I want the Fulmer chick. I want the Dane's girls. Now, obviously, one will just babble, and then we can get the Bane girls in here. All three of them.
Say the BS,
So it basically, it's an all young female podcast.
I love it.
Oldest might be 4 years old, but she got a lot to say.
Yeah. We can't understand Evie right now, but I'm pretty sure when she starts forming words, homegirl is blessing me out.
I just can't wait for Evie's accent. Whatever that is, I'm here for it already.
This poor child. You know, it's probably going to be awesome.
Yeah, I know it's going to be awesome. Anyway.
He already looks so much like him. So.
Guys, so this is our last, and I say this in quotation marks, real episode of the year. And the last one that we're recording this a little bit in advance. Dane, Amber, it's always a pleasure. Y'all literally brighten up my week every time I get to see you. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for listening. You know, there's a lot of things that you could click on. We have close to 25,000 listens and downloads, sweet, which is crazy for
podcast
with a very niche audience and a very niche, state. So
tiny state.
That's right. So thank you so much for listening and supporting us and giving us feedback and everything that you do. And we're just really blessed to be able to do this and have you guys.
That's an average of over 300 listens an episode. Wow.
Amazing. Depending on the guest, 300 to 400 listens. Unless we're not on it, in which case the number shoots up.
It's better. It's more popular. But no, I mean, this podcast, Joseph, wouldn't be where it is today without you. I never would have dreamed whenever I reached out to you to have this podcast that we would be in this position. But you deserve so much credit to taking this podcast where, you know, you spent so many countless hours. We all do. But especially you have just really taken this podcast as your baby. And I never would have dreamed that it would be to this point. And you're right. It is a bright spot in the dark legal world. And so with that, we just love that we have this community that we have together, and we do have some loyal listeners. And so it's just it's a very special thing for me, and I'm glad to even be involved.
I'm just honored that you picked me to be able to free ride on your ambitions.
Guys, again, thank you so much for listening. We will be back in 2021. Send us the guests that you want to hear. If you know any of these wish list people that we talked about, hey, nudge them. Send them an email. Say, hey, there's a pretty awesome show who needs a pretty awesome guest, because as you know, we have nothing but illustrious guests. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening in 2020. We will see you in 2021. Next week, we will have a special, very silly episode about Christmas movies. And then during the break, we'll also have our compilation of war stories, which should be fun for those of you who either have or haven't heard those. So again, follow us on Twitter, SC Law Pod, at Joseph P. Bias, at SC Crim Lawyer, at Red Judicata, and I hope everyone's 2021 is better than this year.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
All right. Bye, y'all. Take care. Bye.